Local author Linda Murray Bullard tells her story of growing up without a mother and facing pregnancy at age 13 in the 1970s. As I spoke with Bullard, she shared part of her story and how she made a decision that changed her future and the future of her child.
At the age of 9, my mother passed on Christmas Day, 1968, leaving 6 children, 4 that were from a previous marriage, and then by my father, 2 kids. So he was 50 years old, left with 6 kids. My oldest brother's father came and got him and took him to L.A. For 37 years, we did not know where he was or how he was. In the book that I've written about this whole scenario, I start off with the conversation after 37 years of reuniting with him, trying to tell him about my life and trying to paint the picture of my experiences for him. I talk about what it's like to be raised without a mother and about having a kid at 14. My oldest son is now a captain at the Chattanooga Fire Department, and his daughter, my first granddaughter, just graduated Emory University. My message to readers, to people that meet me, to the people I mentor, is about the power of choice. How by changing my mind about how I saw myself, I not only improved my lifestyle, but I also set up these situations that were conducive for my son to be successful and my granddaughter to be successful, and God willing, every generation that follows after me. I was the first of my father's children to graduate college. In doing so, I kind of took our family up another level, because when one succeeds, we all succeed, of course. But the story of my life really talks about, regardless of where you are in the beginning, if you change your mind, you change your life. And I am a witness of that.
It was not easy to be a pregnant teenager during the time you were. I mean, in some social circles, pregnant teenager was taken out of school.
Right, you were ostracized. Right, exactly. I had withdrawn from the world when I found out I was pregnant, and it was a bad situation with my son's father. But I withdrew from the world and just was in a depression like I can't explain. And I had very good friends who did research and found out about Florence Crittenden, which was the home for unwed mothers. A lot of affluent people could send their kids there to have their babies and give the babies up for adoption and go back and live their lives. But they also did a great thing in inner city girls. People like me were able to go and finish our education, because back then, if you became pregnant, you couldn't be with the population. You couldn't participate in the sports. You couldn't do anything. You could go to school as long as you didn't show. But once you started to show, you were nicely asked not to come to school. And so my friends researched that school, and that was a pivotal moment in my life in that they taught me how to take care of my son. So he became my primary focus in everything and all things. And I did very well with him, but there were no programs for me. So I pretty much had to navigate those waters as they came.
It's not easy being a young parent anyway. 14, you're just a child yourself.
Exactly. I have a granddaughter who's 14. Well, I have one 15 and 14, and I can't imagine them being a parent because they're still enjoying that part of their lives. But I was made to be an adult because I had to show him how to be an adult.
I don't want to sound stereotypical or crass in any way, but you're African American.
I am.
And what, especially during that time, most people would think is you would just start your welfare, your food stamps, and move into the project.
That's the thing about my life, and that's why I feel compelled to share it, is because I am not statistically valid. Statistics say that I should have several children with various fathers and that my son should be involved in crime or drugs or something of negativity, and that we should be generationally in public housing or relying on public assistance. My son has been a fire department employee for 15 years, going on 16 years. But I've always instilled in him leadership and not followership. He, from high school, did not show his academic strength, so he went to the Navy. So he fought and was on the Theodore Roosevelt in the Navy. And that sending him away was the best thing, he says, that happened to him, because I could not watch my son fail. I saw in him bigger than what he could ever dream. I still see that. I mean, I'm super proud of him. He's done very well.
Did you have help from your family early on?
My dad, because we were a blended family at that point when my mother passed, he sent us away to go stay with relatives. The good and the bad of that is we eventually came back home. My father was from New Orleans. My mother's people were already occupied with their lives. And my father was a proud man. He didn't accept charity. He worked. He was a recipient of the Affirmative Action Act. So I grew up with a very different childhood than most people. When you ask, am I African American? Yes, I am. But I don't think I share the same African American experience as some of my peers, in that my dad being the only African American employee at his job, all of his friends were Caucasians. The people that we interacted with were Caucasian. So we were never taught the biases that some of my peers may or may not have. In doing that, a lot of my relationships are based on how I was raised, how he raised me.
In her book, The Well Ran Dry, Bullard described many of the bad decisions she made in her life while young, often telling the kind of stories you hope no one ever learns about you.
I did not lead a perfect life. It took me until age 23 to finally get a grasp of you're better than this. You have so much more to offer. You're not living up to your potential. But it became my father's focus to instill in me, you can do. So he was my cheerleader. I mean, everything, all things was, Lynn can do it. And so that's how, even though I wasn't paying attention to that, but my psyche caught hold to that. I lost him at 30, but as I start seeing him aging, I stepped up and started taking on the responsibilities that he saw in me, that I saw in my son.
And you've completed college. You're now a consultant.
I am. I actually didn't complete college until 2011, so I'm a fairly new graduate. But even without the college education, I've been honored, blessed to mentor young people. I was a youth sponsor for about 15 years at my church. I was a choir director for 13 years. I have always felt like I had to give back because I've sat at some awesome seats that I know somebody from my background doesn't get the opportunity to do. I built my own home in 2008. When the market was falling, to actually just sit down and design something that will be here when I'm dead and gone, that generations will see. My life has been awesome in spite of everything and all things.
You credit your father for a lot of your motivation. Definitely. Early on.
Definitely.
But you lost your father when you were 30.
Yes.
You went back to college later.
Yes.
It was definitely a deep instilled influence, but what else in your life made that possible?
Because I wanted to show my children how it's done. And I believe, I've always believed, I in fact tell others to believe that your children won't know how to do it unless you show them. And so I am a living example. I don't just preach it, I walk it. So I want to be my best for them because I want to show them how things are doable.
What made you want to write a book?
It didn't start out as writing a book. When I reunited with my brother, I actually was trying to recount my life for him. And in doing so, I sat down on January 1st, 2007, and just did a purge. Because after I got it out to him, it seemed like I could let it go. And so I put it away for several years. We'd go back every now and then and add something, change something as I remembered things. When I lost my job in January, I decided to pull it back out to see if it was bookworthy because I was inspired to share my story with other teen moms. And so I pulled it back out and hired a copy editing team and a cover team through CreateSpace, which is self-published. And that's what I did. I self-published my story. And surprisingly, when I published it into the world on May the 13th of this year, I sold my first copy in the UK on June 7th, and that just empowered me, just felt good. And I also got the feedback from other mothers who said, I'm using your story for a summer reading book for me and my daughter. I want to have dialogue. I want to teach them the things that you didn't know. And I thought, how wonderful is that? It's pretty much taken off on its own in that dimension, but I'm also doing various speaking engagements for teens and young people and young adults to empower them with the power of choice.
Linda Murray Bullard's book is titled The Well Ran Dry. Bullard credits her decision to change her expectations and choices for changing her life. You can find her on Facebook or through her consulting firm at getthebusiness.org. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.